Hello, everybody. Charisse here with a very special announcement. I am thrilled to share that RCAT is now an official AIA continuing education provider. With this remarkable distinction, RCAT has launched RCATemy, a continuing education platform for the busy AEC professional. And here's the really exciting part. You can now earn continuing education credits by doing exactly what you are doing right now. That's right, you can now earn AIA credits by listening to select episodes of Detail. Whether you're working around the house, on your commute, or stuck in a waiting room, just listen, take a brief quiz, and your credit will automatically be recorded with AIA. It's really that simple. Plus, bonus points that much of our content qualifies for that elusive HSW credit. And we all know how valuable those are. What more could you ask for? We aim to please. Find out more at rcat.com/continuing-education or follow the link in our show notes. And thank you for tuning in to the RCAT Detailed podcast. This is an original podcast by RCAT. Try the number one most used website for finding building product information and save time and money. No registration is required with RCAT, so try it today and get ahead on your next project. Visit RCAT.com. That's ARCAT.com. Hi, Charisse here, host of the RCAT Detailed podcast. I recently had the opportunity to join the RCAT team at the AIA Conference on Architecture and Design in Boston. Every year, the AIA and AEC community convenes to network, share knowledge, and discuss today's most pressing issues. On the expo floor, AIA 25 fosters cross-industry collaborations and solutions across the entire spectrum of the AEC industry. I joined RCAT under the Big Red A to speak with several interesting people and companies who are delivering solutions to design a better world. We are bringing those conversations to you here as bonus content. Enjoy. Today, I have with me Richard Lamb, the president of New Tech Wood. Richard, welcome.
Thank you.
So tell me a little bit, who are you? Who is New Tech Wood? And just give me a little bio information so we know who you are before I start drilling you with questions.
Sure. My name is Richard. Like you said, I've been in this industry for 20 years. It's a family business that we grew out of recycling plastics in the 90s. Figured we needed to go somewhere else and add value to what we were recycling. And so we created this product. And we started out from the first generation composites back in the early 2000s to now where we have cap composites and many other different products that we're planning to come out with soon. We also sell worldwide as well. So this is not just a US product, but an international product all over the world.
Wow. So give me a little rundown on your products. Like, if what would I come to your website or contact you? What kind of products am I looking for if I'm coming to you?
Yeah, sure. So we sell a bunch of different products. We sell composite decking as well as composite siding. Now, what's unique about our composites is that we cap all our products all the way around on all four sides. So it's fully encapsulated product to protect itself from it, the sun, the environment, and the weather. And our siding products, we have a bunch of different profiles that work with one clipping system. And so whereas a lot of products have deck boards on the wall, ours actually has a closed rain screen system with our clipping system. Now, the benefit with that is that it provides a nice tight seal against the wall so you don't get any water from the rain getting back there. And our products range from a flat looking profile as well as a notch looking profile. We just came out with a Boren Bannon as well this year.
Interesting. Well, I'm in need of redoing two decks at home. So now you know I'll be checking out your composite decking. So one of the things, I'm a spec writer by day. This is, you know, my side gig or my special project. One of the things that I often don't get the benefit of is finding out later whether my specs did well during construction, whether there were any problems during construction, are there things that I missed? That doesn't always get back to me. And so for your products and materials, you know, you're going to know better than anybody when things go wrong because a spec wasn't properly written. So let's start there. What are the most common mistakes us as spec writers make in our documents with your products that you're going to help me not make anymore by telling me today?
That's a great question. I feel like at least for us, we don't come along a ton of problems because we try to communicate, we try to over communicate that information to the architect. So even on our website, we have all the CAD drawings, we have all the specs for the architect to download, and we make sure that that's readily available. So we don't have those kind of issues that come up later. So, but one of the things that we see a lot is lengths, you know, because some people like that brick look on the building. And, you know, I think that's one thing that the architect doesn't really spec a lot of the times, that type of look. They'll take the profile and put it on there, but they don't detail out the length and how they want the boards to be cut out on the building.
So you want to make sure that they know that they need to be doing that.
Yes, yes.
Because I'll tell you, I mean, I love that you over communicate, but I can pretty much assure you that I often write specs where I never talk to anybody at the company. Mm-hmm. If I think I've got it all figured out. Now, I'm not saying that may always be the right thing to do, but when you do spec some products a lot on a regular basis, you get a pretty good vibe. But then you're trying to accommodate some special project condition, and maybe that's where you make your mistake. You don't add in a certain accessory you have to have under that condition, or you're going to have a problem, those kinds of things. So
I think that, you know, for the most part, we really don't see a lot of that. I don't know if we're just lucky or, you know, we're over communicating or whatnot. We really rarely get anything from the contractor back saying that this spec was written incorrectly, like they put this in the wrong place, or they used the wrong trim, they used the wrong clip, screw. We really hardly see that on our end.
Well, that's good to hear. And I would just guess, hopefully, that you've got some properly written guide specs on your website that probably contribute to that.
Yeah.
Because I know when I get good guide specs from a manufacturer, not just something they put together they thought was a spec, because I see those all the time.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, that's not a spec. But good guide specs help a spec writer make better choices right out of the gate.
Yeah, all our specs are written by RCAT for all our siding products and decking products. So they're written.
No wonder you don't have problems on your job. You just made the best point ever for having really great guide specs.
Mm.
Because, I mean, I know that this is RCAT's podcast and we're talking here, but not everybody on RCAT's website has RCAT write their specs. I don't think. I might be wrong. I've got some homework to do now. But I say all the time, if you want construction to go better, start with a good guide spec.
Yeah.
A good solid guide spec and properly done drawings, and you're not going to have problems.
Yeah, I don't understand why anyone wouldn't, because you would. I know it costs money, but you're going to spend even more money when it goes all the way down to the contractor and it's done incorrectly, or they order a wrong product or whatnot. You know, in the end, you're going to pay for it one way or the other.
Well, you win the gold medal today, because that's that's the whole point. And the point of having these conversations on the podcast is so we can have the wisdom that they've earned, hard-earned wisdom, shared with others who maybe haven't learned that lesson the hard way yet. Maybe we can prevent that. So let's talk about construction.
Okay.
So we all know already that specifiers are perfect and we don't mess things up. What are some of the challenges? And I shouldn't say mess things up, because we all know what we know and we don't know what we don't know. But if you have to come out to a job site because of an issue with your product, what are some of the challenges or things that contractors do that cause problems like that, that if they knew, had your knowledge and changed a few things, they wouldn't have the issue? What are those kinds of things you see?
So one of the things that we do, again, to prevent that from happening is we actually have a couple people that go out into the field for larger projects, we actually send those guys out and put in the first board with the contractor to make sure they know what they're doing. So we don't have to come back later and tear it down and redo it again. And again, we don't have a ton of problems, but one of the things that we do see a lot is that people revert to their old ways. So, you know, the contractor has been putting up siding with nails for 30 years. They'll take our product and they'll use nails again without even looking at the installation guide because they think, well, siding is siding and I've been doing this for so long, I'm just going to continue doing it that way. And I would like for all contractors, you know, no matter what, if this is, as long as this is their first time putting on our product, to go through our installation guide. We have an installation guide paper form in a PDF. We also have a video format as well. So, you know, just look over it first and before you actually start construction, it would, or even call us and you can send someone out to help you before you put on that first board, because that would solve almost all issues.
So I'm going to throw you a curveball right now.
Okay.
I should have warned you that happens on occasion because you say something and I'm like, wait, I need to know more. So in my day job as a spec writer, I work for a building enclosure consultant. And our whole wall assemblies and building enclosures have got more and more complicated as time goes on. And so oftentimes there's a lot of layers, you know, so, and I'm specifically speaking to your siding. Mm. So you've got air barriers and insulation and just rain screen systems, all these things are going on in the wall. What can be done to make sure that by the time this gets to the contractor, somebody isn't driving a nail through an air barrier or a weather barrier or doing something wrong within those layers within the building that's going to cause a problem when they're putting your siding on? How do you play into that with when you start getting engineers involved as well?
Yeah, so we do send people out there on the job sites and we try to make as easy as it as possible for, you know, the architect all the way down to the contractor and the homeowner, whoever needs the information. We have, you know, FaceTime. We'll FaceTime the people on the job site because a lot of times they'll tell us, hey, look, I'm at the corner. I don't know what to do. You know, do I do it like this? Do I cut it like that? And we FaceTime because, you know, that's the quickest and easiest way to resolve someone's problem. You can go back and forth through emails 20 times and you might not even get what they're saying. But if you have, you know, the video chat, it just makes things a lot easier. We try to use as much technology as possible to resolve people's problems. I know there's a, you know, there's a lot of things that can go wrong, but we understand that, you know, that siding that goes on that wall is facing the street, facing people's eyes. If someone does it wrong, that makes us look bad. So we want to make sure 100% it's always done correctly as much as possible. And I know it's hard to get to every single person, but you know, we try to utilize as much as we can in our tool bag to get to those people.
Well, yeah, in our side of the table, besides the aesthetics, which are very important, we also need to make sure that building doesn't leak.
Yeah.
And that, you know, water has somewhere to go. And, mm. And so things like fasteners and what they are being fastened into. Mm. And, you know, or do you have to put up a strip to fasten into because you can't go into a particular layer in the wall assembly?
Yeah. For our product, you can do either or. You can use furring strips or you can screw it straight on the substrate. The thing that we like to recommend is if you do put on a substrate to make sure that the wall is, you know, flat. And the reason behind that is our product is still plastic base, a polymer base. So after it settles, you know, you can maybe see that bump in the wall or the dip in the wall, depending on how large it is. So it's best to just use the furring strips if you can, or, you know, before you build the wall, make sure that you know that the wall is going to be used with our siding and make sure that wall is flat. Because a lot of remodels, when they tear off the wall, they'll see all these undulations because it's not built for this product to be put on.
Good to know. So what can you tell me, what do I have to look forward to? What do you want to celebrate or what new things are going on at New Tech Wood that you would like to leave me with as we close out this interview?
Sure. Like I said at the beginning, we have the bore and bend that we just came out with. And again, it's using the same clip system that we have with all our other profiles. we have about 100 something profiles at our main headquarters, our international headquarters, that we have tons of different looks, tons of different profiles that we make for Germany, for Europe, for Australia, for Japan. And we haven't unleashed all those things out here in the US, but we will slowly start putting more and more of these profiles out into the US as, you know, the popularity increases. We also have a new product that we're coming out, or we've came out with. It's our Illusions product. It's an aluminum-based product, but it's using our same coating that we put on our composites on aluminum. So we've chemically bonded it to the aluminum. So if you were to take a piece of our siding and a piece of that Illusion, you couldn't tell the difference until you looked on the side and looked at the core. And the benefit with that product is you're going to get the lighter weight, fire retardant, superior fire retardant, and the installation is a lot easier, because with composites, there's a little bit of work you have to do because it's still the polymer base. But with the aluminum, you can pretty much install however you want and it'll be a lot stabler. So those are the things that we're working on and building on right now.
Very interesting. Well, I'm excited to see what you do going forward. Richard, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
Good luck, and I'll keep an eye out. I'll be checking it out when I get back to my desk.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and want to learn more, visit rcat.com/podcast to see photos, details, and more related project and product information that we discussed today. While you're there, take a look around rcat.com. For over 30 years, RCAT has been the resource for AEC professionals to find the right products for their project. Try RCAT and see how their tools can save you time and money and help you get ahead on your next project. Visit rcat.com. That's ARCAT.com. If you enjoyed the show, you can support us by subscribing, leaving a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts, and sharing this with your friends. Thanks again for listening. We'll be back to share more stories and lessons learned to help you navigate your next project.